Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Live from the satanic palatial, underground bunker flat sort of thing that we got built down here with, American flags covered in pentagrams strewn about the walls and stuff. I'm just joking, of course. I'm not. Never mind. My very special guest is Suzanne Poisel. Welcome to the program. Actually, we're being hacked. That's right. There is a global hack going on. And we're being affected by it as we speak, ladies and gentlemen. As we speak. I'm not connected to the studio right now. Those of you who are listening to this on the archive section will probably just go like, okay, that was weird. Something's going on. We'll be right back after the technical issues are resolved.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
What the heck? Okay, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. On this most auspicious of occasions, where you can all be comforted that you're not the only one being hacked. Everyone's being hacked, isn't it?
I'm being hacked. Everyone is being hacked. There's a huge global DDoS going on, a fight between Spam House and Cyber Bunker. And I have an article that I put together about it. It's going out tomorrow because my website's down today.
Or maybe you'll give us a sneak preview right here.
Well, what's happening is Spam House is in Germany or Switzerland. You know what? I can't remember right now. Anyway,
it's irrelevant.
It's probably... They are a policing agency, and if one of their customers reports another website as a spam, then they put it on their blacklist, and Cyber Bunker was put on their blacklist, so they got upset, and now there's this massive DDoS going out. They're attacking servers and hosts and things like that. My website is down. Many other websites are down. A friend of mine, Lori's from Lori's Talk News Radio, called me, said, is your site down? I said, yeah. People American on my Freedom Facebook page were like, oh, my God, your site's down. Is the FBI hacking into you? No. Everything's fine. It's everybody else is having a fight.
Yeah, we were joking before the show, you know, it's like, man, it's so comforting that I'm not the only one. It's really comforting that websites are exposing scumbaggery all over the globe, are being hacked and destroyed and taken down, and losing readers and listeners and such, as we very well speak, much like American Freedom Radio, because, you know, like what just happened there. Second, we come into the show talking about how everybody's being hacked and cut-offs and stuff like that, we get hacked and cut off.
It's the beauty. It's the irony of life.
Yeah. I am rather concerned, of course, because, well, in fact, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I mean, my site's not down, is it? Shoot, let me check.
I don't know.
VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and she's sweet. It's all there. It's all gravy. All right. Well, while you're waiting for your favorite scumbaggery exposer to come back online, why don't you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and click donate or subscribe or something for like a couple of bucks a month. That'd be very, very nice, because the bank account's kind of, I don't know if anybody's been listening for a long time, but I think it was like last week or the week before. Can't remember exactly which. They all just kind of blew together this year for some reason. 2013 is pretty freaking amazing year so far. My PayPal account was taken down, but now I've got a new one up there, a merchant account and all of that kind of jazz. So if you would kindly, because I had to think about like 75 people or something, cancel the subscription to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And it, like, between $1 and $20 each, that's a massive, it took me years, literally years, to get that many people to subscribe. And I've been able to survive off that and pay the bills and stuff like that. So if you are one of those people who cancelled your subscription, I'm acting under the suspicion that because they're monthly subscribers, they'll just cancel it and then go back to it like a month later and resubscribe or something like that. If so, that's cool. If you just kind of cancelled and then were wondering what the heck is going on, well, the issues are resolved, so you can just go do the PayPal thing again. And the buttons are on the homepage only, of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, right there for your clickety-boo pleasure. So if you would do that, that would be a great favour to me. Thank you very much. Now, speaking of which... Suzanne, you had a massive drop in the amount of readership and advertisers to your website just recently too, didn't you?
Yes.
You don't want to talk about it, do you?
I have also gotten a bunch of new listeners and readers, so everything's fine. You know, when one person walks away, another person walks up. So it's okay.
It's the nature of the beast. Speaking of the beast, I was listening to Kevin Barrett's show just before we came live here, and they're actually passing a law like bill number in the Los Angeles, whatever the frick house of parliamentary frickin' governmental scumbaggery that they've got there, called Bill 666. And incidentally, it's about installing a massive draconian system of red light speed cameras and stuff like that all over Los Angeles or something. And get this, you will not be able to appeal if it tickets you. Like, $500. Okay.
That is incredible. Like,
I'll feed
right
the kids
now.
Next month.
Yeah, right. Right now, as it stands, there's a lot of secondary sources of law that if you get ticketed by a camera, you can absolutely fight that in court. Because what are you going to do? Subpoena the camera to the stand that it saw you? The reason why they have a police officer is because that's the witness to the event in most cases.
Mm. Does a camera not count as a witness, or does somebody actually have to be holding the camera?
No, well, the idea is that there has to be a sentient being observing the incident, and usually they they facilitate that by having a police officer or they go to witnesses and see what happened. But a camera is not sentient. It's a piece of machinery, and it can't vouch for what it saw. There's been plenty of cases where the people were able to show that there's so many glitches in software that cameras are not reliable. I think it was beginning of this year or the end of last year that a judge ruled that city cameras are infringing on their rights, and that there has to be an actual person present. That camera can't just take pictures of your license plate and mail you a ticket. That's not legal anymore.
Wow. I guess they didn't inform the government of California.
Well, California is in bankruptcy, and they're getting all their money from the government, so it would probably be the government.
Yeah. It's like, dudes, you can't pay your bills, man. Why don't you just put up some draconian cameras and stuff and just leech it out of people who can't afford it and get them all to pay $500 tickets, man? You'll be fine. Don't worry. And then just give it to the federal government, and then we'll just give it to the bankers, who will then spend it on military-industrial complex spending, who will then spend it on recruiters to come round in your poor neighborhoods and stuff like that and recruit your children to go and take part in our massive illegal wars. Don't worry, man. It all goes round in a circle and comes back to you in the end.
Here's American Gladiators. Here's American Idol. Go back to sleep.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is television in itself, like there's this new TV show, I think I caught a glimpse of it. It's very similar to American Gladiators / Wipeout or something. I can't remember the name of it. Because I just don't care. And they had these retards like, oh man, I'm gonna win this. I'm so freaking awesome. You're gonna see what I'm gonna do, man. It's just like, what the frick? Oh my God. It's like, how do they recruit these people? It's like, if you are a dumbass who has nothing going in your life, who looks moderately attractive, and can speak like an idiot, we want you on television as an example to the rest of Americans. This is the best you can do. You can be retarded and you can be on television. That is the best frickin' thing that you could ever possibly achieve in your life. And it's just, how many shows are like that? How many shows are like that? I mean, the name Jerry, for example, springs to mind. You know, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. Yeah, but it's actually kind of like a pinnacle of American culture now, beyond like the Jerry Springer show, and be some kind of inbred trailer trash that is now on TV, and then, oh my God, your life is so much better. It doesn't make any sense. Incidentally, speaking of stupid TV shows, I was Googling just the name Vinny to see what would come up. And I'm number two on the Google suggested search results. Number one is a guy named Vinny Guagadino from Jersey Shore. You know,
there you go.
Could the evidence not be any clearer than that?
At least you got on the list.
I'm number two on the list, yeah. You know. Well, Vinny's not a very common name, I don't think. And more to the point, you know, what are the other people called? I don't know. Well, Vinny Jones, though, he's a former football player and stuff like that from England back in the day. He became a movie star. He's in films like Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and what have you. So if you spell Vinny with an I-E, he comes up number one. But with a Y, I'm number two. And I was just thinking, I want to really be number one. That would be cool. So I was going to ask the listeners, if you're at a computer right now listening to this program, if you're watching it on YouTube on a delayed broadcast or something like that, please go to your Google and search Vinny with a Y, just Vinny with a Y, and see what comes up. And if you see the VinnyEastwoodShow.com there, click on it, and that way it'll tell Google, oh my God, that's the Vinny that we're looking for, and do it again. You know, like reload the page and then search Vinny over again and then do it again and again and again and again and again and make
Vinny, the number one Google search term for the name Vinny, you know, Vinny Eastwood or whatever I am. It'd be cool. It'd be cool, I think. And that'd be something I could tout, you know.
Sounds like a grassroots effort to get you to the top.
Yes, get me to the top. And and then I could go rub it in all the mainstream media faces and stuff like that. You'd just be like, ha. Mayor is remarkably egotistical of me, I think. Is it? Is it? I don't know. At least I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it.
It's amazing to me that these shows, I remember when they first came out and I thought how incredibly weird it is to put CCTV cameras all over someone's house and put a bunch of people in there that you know don't like each other and then watch them like rats in a cage chew each other up. I never understood that.
Yeah, well, I remember an Endemol production called Big Brother, and the Endemol logo is an eye, all right? It's a big, big eye that's looking at you. It says Endemol. It's like an Australian company or something like that. And they make a program called Big Brother where they get a whole bunch of Australians or whatever into a house together, and they're all under complete and total surveillance at all times. There's cameras and microphones absolutely everywhere, you know? You get all the nudity and all of that kind of stuff. I was just thinking, man, that's real conditioning right there, isn't it? It's actually making it fun and fashionable to have absolutely no privacy of any freaking kind.
Do you remember MTV way back, had The Real World?
Yeah.
Where they put a bunch, and that was the first one, and it spun off all these other ones, and now that's all you see, reality TV. But it's crazy that you're actually watching through a CCTV camera, just like the government is watching you, just like your local government's watching you, and you're watching these people, and it's entertainment. That's creepy.
Yeah, it is. It's, well, I think reality TV is now the cheapest form of television to make, you know? You don't need a studio. You don't need nothing. You know, it's just basically here's reality. Chuck some cameras in there. Hence, it's reality TV. Very, very cheap to make, and it's the most popular form of television. Incidentally, maybe it's because people are really easy to manipulate. Thank you.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back.
I've been to Reno, Chicago.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. There are some internet-y games afoot at the moment, ladies and gentlemen. Some bad, 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 bad people out there hacking and destroying and messing up internet connections all over the place. And I'm just about to drop out right now. Wait a second. Wait for it. Wait. Okay, it's not happening. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Anyway, my very special guest. In fact, I find it ironic that I always say my very special guest, regardless of who the guest is, because if they're all very special, then technically none of them are special, are they? So my regular guest, my pretty average guest, is Douglas Dietrich. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be just part of the normal crowd for a change, I assure you, and I appreciate that, Mr. Eastwood, and certainly glad to be here. Normally, I would still be asleep at this hour, being a creature of the night, but we'll see if I can inhale enough oxygen to get my brain working. Either that, or I'll hit some crack or meth or something and speed myself up a bit so that I can talk.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll have to go to the LAPD to purchase it, of course. Right. Now, today we're going to be talking about Satanism in the military, and Super Soldier Summit conference is going to be coming up soon. SuperSoldierSummit.com, I believe, is the website. The lovely Laurian Fenton is putting this on for That's everybody correct. Concerned, and you'll be attending that too, won't you?
That's right, and I want to thank you for bringing that up very much, because that will be the topic of our discussion over what I feel will be the remainder of the program. Do we just have this hour or the 2 hours that Mr. Eastwood?
Excellent. We got the two.
That's fantastic. I appreciate that, because I will discuss a lot of the topics that we'll be covering there. I think that we've covered Satanism, I wouldn't say thoroughly, but we have introduced it to the audience, so I'll be happy to go into that. But I thought that the audience might also be interested in mind control, the attempt to harness and develop psychic powers by both the Soviet Union and the United States at the height of what the Americans call the Cold War, but what was functionally the Third World War. And certainly the Soviet Union recognized it as such. And they lost, essentially, and America was left pretty much eviscerated. So it was a time in which they were using every weapon that they could develop, and one of these weapons was trying to maximize or weaponize the human potential. And this is where a lot of the New Age movement got a big, shall we say, boost in terms of popularity, was because a lot of credibility was given to these kinds of talents by the U.S. government. And as a result, however, what a lot of people don't know about is the uglier side, or rather, a lot of people have heard of it, but they want to ignore it, want to not take it into account, and that would be the Super Soldier program. And just to differentiate this, Mr. Eastwood, the term super soldier is, of course, a misnomer. It is misleading in the sense that the just any code name would be misleading intentionally. A good example would be during the time of the Third Reich, where the largest tank in the world, where only a few of these tanks were produced, they were deployed on the Eastern Front. The Americans never got a single example of this kind of tank. They were extremely large, larger than the King Tiger tank. They were codenamed Maus, M-A-U-S, which is the German word for mouse. And then you've got the smallest tank in the world, which was one of the world's first robot tanks. It was remotely controlled, again deployed on the Eastern Front by the Third Reich, and it was codenamed Goliath. Well, the term super soldier has a connotation where instantly the image that comes to mind is he's bigger, he's badder, he's a genetically bred Superman. But the reality is that the Super Soldier program referred to the weakest among us, and those were children, and they were mostly taken out of broken families, orphanages. They were literally adopted and placed into foster homes that were intentionally abusive, or they were taken into orphanages that were essentially government-sponsored or government-exploited. And the children in those programs were essentially trained to become very ideal assassins, not in the sense that they were integrated personalities who had control of their lives, who were able to maintain a profession where they would, shall we say, have control over their own destiny. And for instance, when we take a look at the assassin in the James Bond films, in Assassin's Creed, we're given an impression of distinct empowerment. None of these children were to live a life that was one of self-empowerment. Their lives were lives of total disempowerment. They had no knowledge of what they were doing, quite literally, and they were doing everything in terms of split personality, and they would often be the victims of whatever they were doing themselves because they were expendable. The government could always make more. So the reason that this was going on is extremely mundane. People, again, despite having their knowledge that the government is corrupt, they tend to forget how banal the corruption truly is. And to put this into perspective for you, again, the U.S. military, which was in charge of, logically, the Super Soldier program, is an extremely small community. I brought this up before, and I'll emphasize it again. You take the entire Department of Defense, which I worked for almost a decade, which are civilians. All of the military serves a civilian chain of command, all the way up to the civilian president, who is their executive commander-in-chief. You take that entire Department of Defense, is only 100,000 bureaucrats. They do not wear uniforms. They're entirely civilian. They've never seen anything in terms of a military barracks other than in theory, you know, etc. These are people totally functionally disaffiliated with the battlefield. They are considered part of the military. So if you add all of those 100,000 bureaucrats together with the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard, and the National Guard, and the Reserves, you have 2.5 million people. That's going to shrink now with sequestration. They're going to take 20,000 Marines, 10% of the Marine Corps out of 200,000 Marines. They're going to take many out of the Army. We're going to lose 500,000 jobs. So it's going to get even smaller. Even at full strength, at 2.5 million people, it was less than 1% of the U.S. population, because the U.S. population is the third largest on Earth. That is why the U.S. is a superpower. One of the reasons why it's got the largest market in the world is sheer weight, sheer inertia of buying power. And it was developed, and it is the third largest after China and India. So with 300, both of which have 1 billion people each, but with 350 million people in the United States, you've got 50 million of them are illegal immigrants, and even if we factor those out and just have 300 million straight, legally recognized citizens of the U.S., you still have less than 1% of the population serving in the military or affiliated with the Department of Defense. So how is it that this less than 1%, you want to talk about the 1% in the Occupy movement? This is it. How is it that this less than 1% of the U.S. population every single year is budgeted over 50% of the discretionary fiscal income? Every year, statistically, annually, 51% statistically, in the quotidian sense, goes to the military. Without question, it's budgeted out of our discretionary fiscal income by the U.S. government. So this is a congressional military-industrial complex, amongst many other aspects of this complex. And we have to ask why this enormous allotment to such a small amount of the population, which obviously delivers zero in terms of its service. 9/11 proved the fact that all of our nuclear defense system, all of our massive investment in occupation overseas is utterly worthless. There is the porousness of our borders, the 50 million illegal immigrants, which I have just mentioned, proves that we are the world's least defended third world nation that has the world's highest military budget. So all of the military, just all of the high technology, the stealth bombers, the drones, cannot protect us from an invasion of basically a mass migration of people who have.
Yeah, so major technical difficulties today, ladies and gentlemen. I must apologize to the listeners. Doug, I think you're back now.
Great. Yeah, sorry about that. I couldn't hear you either, so I don't know what response you gave. I assume it was appropriately witty.
No, it was simply, I can't hear you. Where are you?
Oh, okay. Oh, where did I break off?
Something about the fact that you can't defend the U.S. borders with the stealth bombers and the drones and the nuclear weaponry and all of that. And you know what? Maybe I should have some kind of a witty response to that, because I think it would be quite funny actually if you have a couple of Mexican nationals jumping over the border or just walking through the desert. And you're like, oh man, it's gonna be so great. We're gonna go to the land of opportunity, and then. All of a sudden, sombreros go flying everywhere, and burn poncho remains and things like that get found by generations later on.
That's a horrible image. That's a horrible image. At any rate, part of the irony here is obviously, as I was saying, America is essentially it is now like the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was a third world nation with a mighty military machine, and in the end it collapsed. And America is obviously following that pattern. But let's ask why. Since we're not a a statist nation, supposedly, since we're not a socialist nation, supposedly, since, and of course we are both, but the problem is with the voting by the politicians. Oh, I don't know how to turn my video. Oh, there we are. Thank you for reminding me. My video went off. I apologize for that. So you were, of course, relieved of the evil presence of my face for at least momentarily.
The dark specter of Dougie.
Yes. At any rate, so my point is that the reason the politicians do this is because they're compromised. And this happened starting quite some time ago. What happened was just one century after the establishment of the American Republic, which was, of course, 1776, when the American Constitutional Republic was established. The one thing that we can say it was not, I can say many negative things about it. I can say the founding fathers were plantation owners, slave owners, that they were all, of course, very distinctly white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males, that women did not have voting rights. Certainly minorities, such as African Americans, were legally slaves. So we can say many of the negative things about it. But the one thing it was not was it was not a military junta. So how did it come to this point where we were servicing the military so obsequiously? Basically what happened was the American Civil War, and the American Civil War was a railroad war. Literally every single major battle in the American Civil War was within 10 to 20 miles of track. And because they were fighting for industrial centers in a emergent industrialized economy, then the North was able to take advantage of that, the Union, and ultimately industrially overwhelm the South, the Confederate States of America, in many ways because they were still, in the main, a very agrarian economy. So when this took place, the Northern Army was extremely corrupt. It raided the palatial southern manses and estates and started an enormous black market. And one of the men who fought that corruption was a politician named Samuel Tilden. A politician, this politician was one of the few honest politicians. He was the Ralph Nader of his day. And what happened was they elected him president. And, of course, he didn't get to serve because his election was stolen by the U.S. military. What happened was the robber barons, the rail barons, the men who were in charge of the rails said, we've had such a great expansion during this war because they've needed our track to be expanded for military logistics. We want this to go on forever and never stop. So they said, we want to expand into the West. So what we're going to do is we're going to fund a military junta. And so what they did was when Samuel Tilden won the election of 1876, literally 100 years after the establishment of the U.S. Constitution, they bought out the election. They basically – he happened to be Democrat. They fronted a Republican candidate against him, and this was General Rutherford B. Hayes. And General Hayes – was a brutal man, a very physically large man. He was known to be quite abusive towards his troops physically. And this individual was basically just like a gorilla in a suit. And so when they fronted this individual and presented all of the electoral votes to the public, everybody knew that Samuel Tilden had been elected by 250,000 votes in the popular election. They knew that he had garnished 196 electoral votes over the 173 of General Rutherford B. Hayes. And yet still, without any finesse whatsoever, all kinds of money was given to the vote counters to discredit the or discount the Democratic votes in both Louisiana and in Florida. And this was very similar to the Jeb Bush discounting the Al Gore votes in Florida, the hanging chads, all the rest of that that was to be replayed later. And as a result, Rutherford B. Hayes won by a single electoral vote. And so... Mm-hmm.
Well, hold up. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Douglas Dietrich.
Bonkers.
In my life ain't what it seems. I went cocked to the vote.
back and flee. I act real shallow, but I'm in 2D. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that might be just a little bit bonkers. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Hey, and you know, the way I look at it, the most interesting people are always just a little bit crazy. Always. My very special guest, completely unrelated, is Douglas Dietrich. Welcome back.
That was a wonderful intro. Thank you so much. And no need to worry. I fit the crazy bill. I see a psychiatrist for post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. So definitely I'll be the first to admit that. And that's that brings to mind what people have said about the government bugging my home or emplacing microphones. And I always think, what would they expect to hear other than the fact, I mean, I live alone. I don't say anything on the phone that I wouldn't say on air. And the only thing they're going to be hearing is my screaming in my sleep. And when I'm alone during the daytime, maybe some various phrases such as curse words when I'm spilling something, or three-syllable sentences like "Why me, God?" being uttered every once in a while. Other than that, the only other thing that would catch would be maybe some strange grunting sounds while I'm cruising for online porn or something. But at any rate, there you have it. There is nothing.
You know, you just described precisely what the microphones in my house pick up.
That's right.
Maybe with that, I don't scream in my sleep, though. I talk in my sleep. Like, I actually do accounting in my sleep. Like, I'm always talking about numbers and talking about money and stuff in my sleep for some reason. My girlfriend's like, woken me up sometimes. She's like, Vinny, stop doing accounting in your sleep. And I was like, oh, sorry.
Oh, that's pretty alarming, by the way. That's it goes to show you how much we're all worried about finances. I probably do the same thing. I probably dream about knocking off gas stations.
Give me the money.
That's right. Not the bag with the marked bills. You know, that sort of comment. At any rate, good sir.
And throw another Nutrageous bar into that bag too.
That's right.
The Day-Glo orange wrapper, so that when I pull it out in front of a cop, he won't shoot me because I'm black.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, no, a whole bunch of Red Bull too. Something to keep me awake when my speed wears off. At any rate, so with what I was saying about that military junta that was effectively established in 1876, at that time there was serious talk of another American revolution because of that. It was, in other words, this was known at that time that this happened. Everybody realized what had happened. And at that point, America split up to the point where various Republican-controlled newspapers were calling for all of the men who were of that party to basically come into Washington with their guns to defend the new military junta from any Democrats who would feel that they needed to amass in Washington and take the government back by force. Now, this is important because in those days, the Solid South was primarily white voting Democrats. So we were getting back to another Southern revolution that was brewing. So a deal was struck where General Rutherford B. Hayes ended the Union occupation of the former Confederate States of America. This was known as the Great Compromise. So he withdrew all Union occupation troops, and this was how the Klan was able to assert itself, gerrymander all of the districts, and prevent black votes from counting for the next several generations. So in that sense, the South truly won the Civil War in the sense of preserving much of the status quo that had existed in the antebellum South from being overwhelmed by a majority black population. And the majority black population was terrorized into exmigrating, and this was how you had a great expansion of the African-American minority into the other states of the Union. So this was the repercussions of this military junta, and therefore the robber barons, the rail barons, were able to exploit the African-Americans in the North in an industrial economy, strangely enough, not as labor, but as strike breakers that they would bring in to any white Americans who were trying to unionize. So it's a very strange, very exploitive.
Who were these rail barons that you keep referring to? Because I've heard references that the Rockefellers had massive interests in rails in tandem with Rockefeller.
The listenership can hear me, then if the listenership can hear me, then the rail barons were men like Edward Harriman of the Union Pacific Rail, and we're dropping off. Okay, so I'm going to ask if American Freedom Radio can hear me.
Okay, and we're back. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Douglas, you can turn your video back on again. There is some real bad stuff going on at AmericanFreedomRadio.com at the moment. We keep getting cut off on a rather sporadic basis. I think we were off air there for like 4 minutes or something. Which is not good. Right, well, anyway, Douglas, can you hear me? No? Frank. Okay. Well, we're going to break anyway. Hopefully we'll get these issues resolved. Probably won't, though. And you can expect a completely messed up broadcast today if you are one of those people unfortunate enough to be listening live, if you are listening to the archive shows and what have you. I think I'll probably have to spend just a few more hours or something like that on the archives today than usual to, you know, put it together so it doesn't sound like there's massive drop-offs for like 5 minutes or something that we just had. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and we will continue our conversation, interrupted, of course, with Douglas Dietrich. Back in a minute.
Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.